Okay, today's daf is Kilayim daf Mem Ches, and we are on the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph. We just spoke about, we had a machlokes yesterday, on yesterday's daf, between the Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. If somebody plants a vineyard and the vines are very close together and the rows are too close together, so is that called a vineyard or not? So Rabbi Shimon says, no, not called a vineyard, because the vines are too close together, too tzafuf, too dense, and therefore that's not the normal way to plant, so it's not a kerem. While Rabbi the Chachamim say, no, rowan, you view it as if the inner ones are uprooted, because after all, that's probably the kavana of the farmer, that he's planting many and he's going to uproot some. So as long as you could possibly know which ones are going to be uprooted, then you could view them as if they're not there, and therefore there's regular spacing between the rows and the vines. Then we have 2 days in the Gemara about which cases that's talking about. The way you know for sure, does everybody agree when you know for sure which rows, then even Rabbi Shimon would agree, or no, the machlokas is where you're not, well, you don't know, but if, machlokas is what you know for sure, but if you don't know for sure, then even the Chacham would agree. Okay, we discussed that yesterday. The last line we said yesterday was from Tosfos in Baba Basra on Daf Lam Hazayin, where Tosfos says, you should know that these halachas don't only apply to a kerem, but they also apply not only a kerem for kilayim, but they also apply for the halachas of chozrim or chiyam lachama, like the psukim say in Parsha Shoftim, that Kohen HaMashuach stands up and says, whoever planted a vineyard and didn't get to enjoy its fruit yet, so they could go back. So again, you have to have a real kerem, Tosfos says. Can't just be vines, it has to be a kerem, and in that way, they'll go back. I think I mentioned in the past, I once heard a thought, B'Shem the Bali Musar, and then I saw it inside, B'Shem the Bali Musar. There are a couple of thoughts that I've seen in that regard, but this is one of them, that the Rashi says, there seems to be, on this pasuk, it says, whoever built a house and didn't, wasn't mechanich yet, didn't get to live in it yet, he should go home, maybe he'll die in war, v'ish acher yachnechenu. And somebody else is gonna live in it. If somebody planted a vineyard and wasn't mechala yet, so go home. 3 times. And we have it by Averson. The question that's asked by the Bali Musar is, there seem to be 9 extra words in the Torah. That these 3 extra words we could have just done without. Right? Pen yamas b'machama. He should go home because maybe he'll die. And then he won't get to enjoy it himself. No, what does the Torah say? And someone else will enjoy it. And somebody else. What's the emphasis? Or Rashi quotes. Rashi says, "V'davar shel agmas nefesh huze." It's agmas nefesh. What's he driving at? So the Bali Musar connect this to. It must be recent Bali Musar. They connect it to a story. The story is quoted by others as well. The story that happened in Brisk, that there was a butcher that had a big shiloh about a cow, and he goes to the Rav Simcha Zelig, right, the dying in Brisk, Rav Simcha Zelig Rieger, and he goes, and after a long thoughts, you know, he paskins against the butcher. Hundreds of ruble the butcher lost. And a month later, this same butcher had a din Torah with someone else about a very measly small sum of money, and they come to die again, Rav Simcha Zelig, and Rav Simcha Zelig gives a psak against this butcher, but for a tiny, tiny amount of money. And all of a sudden, this butcher gets up and starts screaming at Rav Simcha Zelig, how could you? And he starts cursing him, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik happened to be there. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said, it was the Rav, he says, he threw him out of the Beis Din. So Rav Simcha Zelig says to Rav Chaim, I don't understand. A month ago, I traipsed up his cow. We lost hundreds and thousands of ruble. He didn't say a word. He accepted it. And here, it's for a tiny little amount of money. Reb Chaim says, yeah, but you don't understand. Over there, nobody else won. He lost money, but it doesn't hurt as much. It doesn't hurt as much. If nobody else has it, fine. They have siblings fighting. If nobody gets a lollipop, then fine. But if he gets a lollipop and not me, oh. So the pain that somebody would feel, the Torah is giving us an insight into the human condition. Not only that he'll die, but someone else will enjoy the benefits of his work. That's the agmas nefesh. That's what's mentioned by the 9 words, the extra words, and that's one of the messages that we get from Chozrim Erechem Lachama, which Tosfos connected to our Gemara, which Tosfos said that Kerem is not only important for Hilchos Kilayim, but also for Hilchos Chozrim Me'orchei Amalcham. Okay, so there's another area that this is going to connect to now. And that is the following. Says the Gemara, now the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph. So to know what the Gemara is about to go on, so we have to work backwards. The Mishnah says, Mara Fulda quotes, the Mishnah in Meseches Nazir in the Bavli, on Daf Samach Dalid Amud Beis, right, talks about what happens if somebody's digging for gold, digging for anything in a big field, and he uncovers a dead body. Whoa. You got to find the dead body, so what do you do? So the halacha is, Hamosi meis betchila, the Mishnah says, so you're allowed to take it, pick it up, and go put it in a cemetery. There's no cemetery marked here. You just found the dead body. You don't have to assume there's any other dead bodies. So you found the dead body. So you take it, the dead body and a little dirt around it, and you could move it and transplant it somewhere else. Shnayim, what if you have two dead bodies in his urn? No, it's lon ves tusasen. Got it. So it's two. You find three? If you find three, then that's called shchunas akvaros. It's called a neighborhood of graves. And if it's within and separated by the requisite distance, so then you have to be worried that maybe this is a shchunas kvaris, and if it's shchunas kvaris, then you have to leave them. You're not allowed to exhume them because this is they were kone the makom, and you have to check looking out in the different directions. Right, that's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says there in Nazir, Matza Shlosha, Yesh Bein Zel Azeh Midal Ramas Vashmona, if there are between the bodies, between 4 and 8, Hareza Shchunas Kvaris. That's Shchunas Kvaris, which are Kone Mekomo. Right? The Mesas Kone Mekomo. Tosfos there in Nazir. Klomar. Igloi Milsa. If you'd have only stopped after you found two bodies, then you could have taken them. But once you find the third body, it's Lomafreya retroactively. Now you know, Kibin the Mishticha Mitlasa, Kibesa Kvaris Hayisham. You know this was a cemetery. Valakach also Litzlan Fanosa. You can't move them. Vigam Tsarach Livdok. And also you have to check 20 Amos radius around to see if there's any more. Kibavade Shibesa Kvaris Hayisham. Viragilim Hayu. And now Tosfos there says, and this is what Argamar is also assuming, they used to bury in burial crypts. So they didn't just have burials like we have, but they had cribs that if you look in the Rishonim in Baba Basra, on Daf Kubbeis, and here a little bit, there are pictures that they have 8 amos on one side and 4 amos on the other side, and there's a certain distance between the graves. So if you find a certain amount, so that's called the Shchunas Kvaris, and that's what is being discussed. So there too, related to that topic, there is a Tosefta. The Tosefta in Ahalos. Tosefta in Ahalos, quoted here, and this is what Argamar is commenting on this Tosefta. So this is all background. So the Rav Chaim Kanievsky here quotes the Mishnah in Ahalos and the Tosefta. Look at Rav Chaim Kanievsky. First, the Mishnah in Ahalos. Shem Matzah in the 15th parak. Ahalos is not short. 19th prakim. Shem Matzah gimel kfar mubein kever lekever shir shetzorach la'archik ben ayam. If you find three kfaras and you find there's an amma in between each of them, shchunas akfaras, and you have to check 20 ammas around. Avala matzah kfaris with sufim. But if you find a bunch of bodies in one grave? So what do you do? So ein ze cheska shchunas kfaris. You have to assume that maybe they were on the run and they just threw them in. They didn't have kavana that they should be buried there forever. Or maybe they were just like crushed. Maybe some there was an avalanche 200 years ago, and that's where these bodies are from. I mean, they weren't buried there to be kone makom but kavana if they're very close together. The mistam al nefel a gal nafel alehen. That's what the chachamim say in that mishnah. Rabbi Shimon and the chachamim say they have a machlokas there. And now this is Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky quoting. Upligi Rabbi Shimon vechachamim hasam till the chachamim imnotzi as akvaras emsoyim ba'adayin nishtay rusham gimel kvarim archagas ama bekever lekever. If you're able, if they're not, let's say, not the case I just said before, they're lying on top of each other, they're very close together. But if you would take out the middle ones, then it would fit the exact dimensions. As if you remove them. You take them out, and therefore it's a shchunas kvaris, even though they're very close together. Like taking out the vines in the middle of the vineyard when it's too close, to make it called a kerem, the chachamim there say the same thing. And Rabbi Shimon says, what are you talking about? Shimon says, no, you don't take out. You don't take out the middle ones. Rabbi Shimon, lo amrin and rowan. You don't say rowan. So now, with that, there's a machlokas by shchunas kvaris, whether you have bodies buried too close together. Can you view it as if the middle ones are not there, and therefore it's a shchunas kvaris? Is that parallel to our case where you have vines and rows of vines very close together? Could you say, Ki'ilu, the middle ones are not there, so it's a carrot? So, machlokas. Shimon bar bot, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, k'shem shem chalukin kan, k'chalukin b'shchunas kvaris. Just like we have a machlokas here by the vineyard, so too we have a machlokas by the shchunas kvaris. The same, it's a parallel machlokas. Parallel machlokas, whether it's called a kerem, whether it's called a shchunas kvaris. Rabbi Yonah, Volo Dami, Rabbi Yonah says, sorry, I don't agree. I don't think these two are comparable. There's two different mechayvim. Taman over there by the Kfaris. Let's say you knew for sure. Right now, well, I'll say right now. Let's see the words. Taman over there, Miruvachin. What if originally a cemetery is planted with the correct space in between, and it's a base of Kfaris? And then people stooped in more and put in more bodies in between, so now there's not enough space. Guess what? That's called a base of Kfaris. That's a Shkuras Kfaris. Because Shkuras Kfaris goes by the original Kavana. Muruvachin Ritzafan, if there was Spenny's place and then you squeeze them in, Yeshlam Shkuras Kfaris. It's still called the Shkuras Kfaris. And what about the opposite? Ritzufin, what if you bury them all very close together, not the normal amount, Uruvachin, and then you separated Einalam Shkuras Kfaris? Because originally when they were buried, it didn't have the right spacing, so it's not a Shkuras Kfaris. Meaning, by when it comes to burial, the Iker is what the Kavana was originally. Bramhacha, but when it comes to a Kerem, what do we say? It goes by what it is right now. You don't go by what the original was. Miruvachin, let's say you planted a vineyard, perfectly beautiful, exactly how it's supposed to be. Uritzafan, and then you added in more vines in the middle. Bimachlokes, that's exactly the machlokes in our Mishnah. Do you say, well, eventually the inner ones are going to get uprooted or not? So you go by what it is now, possibly. Ritzufin v'rivchan, and what if it was very tzapu, if you had vines all over, and you actually took out the middle ones, then everybody would agree that it's a kerem now. The only machlokas in the Mishnah is, do you view it as if the inner ones were taken out? But if they actually were taken out, then for sure it has the status of a kerem. So ritzufin v'rivchan, divrei akol, kerem hu. Change those two words. Kerem hu, it is a kerem. So, says the Gemara, you can't, says Rabbi Yonah, against Rabbi Yochanan, you can't compare the two. Ma pligin, what's the machlokas by kever? The machlokas by kever in that Tosefta, you don't know. We don't know. We found a bunch of bodies close to each other. If we knew for sure that originally was where they were buried with space, then it would be a Shkunas Kfaris. If we knew for sure that they for sure were buried together like this, then for sure it would not be a Shkunas Kfaris. But we just found these bodies. So we don't know. So ma pligin, what's the machlokas here? By a kever, bishabom, what's the ritzufin? You just found them, they're all close together. You found them all close together. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Omer ani gal nafal lam v'ratzfan. Rabbi Shimon says, I could assume that a gal fell on them, and meaning they weren't buried originally, separate, and then you added, right? They were buried all together, and therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, it does not have the status of a shkunas kfaris. The Rabbanan Amri and the Rabbanan say, no, maybe not. Maybe Mruvachin Hayu Veritzvan. Maybe they had the space originally, and afterwards they stuck in a few more kfaris. So don't compare. Rabbi Yonah says, don't compare the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. There's a machlokas in both cases, but they're not the same machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan says they're parallel machlokas. Rabbi Yonah says they're not a parallel machlokas. Good. 2 points to discuss on Amud Aleph. First of all, I read it quickly, so maybe nobody caught it. But in the last line, Rabbi Shimon says, Omer ani, gal nafal lam v'ritzfan. So we have mentioned in the past often a thought of Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel knew everything. So we have to look back and see if he quotes this. But in the Beis HaOtzar, under Klal Lamed Gimel, right? Beis HaOtzar goes through the Aleph Beis, but we only have the Aleph and Beis. So under Aleph Vav, Omer Ani, says Rav Yosef Engel, Kach Hayadarko Shel Rebbe, Lomar Dvarav V'Lashon Omer Ani. We find many times throughout Chazal, Rebbe uses the Lashon of Omer Ani, I say. Right? You don't find it by other Tanaim. Right here you do. We have an Omer Ani by Reb Shimon. By the Rashbi. But he says, Ayin Kiddushin, Rebbe Omer Omer Ani, Arishon Meskila, Ayin Gitin Daf Lamed Ches, Rebbe Omer Omer Ani. Right, he says, Erechin Daf Yud Zayin. He quotes all of the, obviously, Marmakomos that he knew. He had everything on his fingertips. He quotes 20 examples where Rebbe says, Omer Ani. And then he says, V'keina Rabos Ma'od, Gam B'Yerushalmi V'Tosefta, V'Shar Sifrei Chachamim, Asperem Mechol Yerbiyun. Too many to count. V'lo nimsa kazel l'shum echad mishar chachamim zulas al tzad hazorus v'hamiyut. Very not often. By Rebbe, you have it all the time. But you have it by other chachamim. He says, you have one of them. V'al zechrani ka'es tosefta psachim, Pesach Mitzrayim. He quotes Rebbe Shimon Omer Omerani. So he quotes Rabbi Shimon in the Tosefta Pesachim. Right? Omer Ani, Mishael Avadim, Vechulu, and it's clear he didn't have it. He says, my recollection, he quoted, and that's, Vulam Yerushalmi Pesachim, it's Rabbi Yossi Haglili, who says Omer Ani, Va'ayin Yerushalmi Beitza, Rav Amar Omer Ani. So maybe that should be Rebbe instead of Rav. It's not too often, but he didn't quote our Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Kilayim. You have also Reb Shimon saying Omer Ani. But anyway, what's Omer Ani? So just the, not asking a kasha on Reb Yosef Engel. Maybe he knew everything, so why didn't he quote this Yerushalmi? But anyway, so he says, so he says, what does Omer Ani mean? What does that express? So he quotes from the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. Reb Yosef Engel is unreal in that he'll quote from all the Achronim, the Ksos and the Nesivis, and he was Nifter in the 20th century. He's buried in Vienna. So he'll quote from the Ksos and the Nesivis and the Shagas Aryeh, but he'll also quote from the Kuzari, and he'll quote from the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, and he'll just quote everything. So he quotes, the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov say, Ki derech anshei maila ha-gedolim, the way of great people, lehisbonein al-kolti bureim u-ma'aseyem, to think about their words, she'enehem ha-medabrim v'ha-osim b'koach atzmam. It's not really me talking. I didn't come up with the idea. It's the godly spark within me that's talking. Ra koach eloki asher bahem ubechol hanivraim ketam v'atam achayez kulam. And that's Hashem's fas I tiftach. Hashem, open my mouth. Hashem's really talking. That's the Omer Ani. It's the Ani in me. It's the Ani, that's the godliness, the Tzelem Elokim that's in me, that's talking. So maybe that's what Omer Ani is, and maybe that's what Hillel says, Im Ani Kan, Hakol Kan, what he says by the Simchas by Sashoeva, in Sukkah Daf Nun Gimel, Ulfid Vareinu Akdumim Yuvan Biyoser, Hainu Shechina HaKadosh Nikres Ani, Umuvanim Advarim Kipshutan, Im Ani Kan, Hainu, Im Shechina HaKadosh Kan, Hakol Kan, Vigam Rashi Ramaz Lazeh, V'chulus. That's idea number one. But then he says, Omer Ani, this is where he also has fascinating, he says, maybe Omer Ani is like La'aniyas Daiti, in my humble opinion. Right, La'aniyas Daiti. K'mosh lo nimsha shigiras lishon Omer Ani l'shum echam nachachamim. And then he says, Omer Ani, in his recollection, appears once in Tanakh. The phrase Omer Ani appears once in Tanakh, is Tehillim Mem Hei. Rachash libi davar tov, my heart was shaking to do something good, Omer Ani ma'asai la'melech. I say, Omer Ani, my actions are for the king, Lishoni eight so fair. My tongue is like a scribe, Mahir. So it says the best of Engel, this pasuk is talking about Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. Right, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, Rebbe, Omer Ani, maybe that's where he got his, the mechaber of the Torah Shebaal Peh, right, he made the decision. He was the one that put it, and so he's, what does the pasuk say? Again, Rachash libi davar tov, my heart thought to do something good, to write down the Mishnah. Omer Ani, Masai Lamelech, I'm doing this L'shem Shemayim. Masai Lamelech. And what does it say? L'shoni, Torah Shebaal Peh, eight sofer mahir. It's the written scribe, Torah Shebaal Ksav. So that pasuk is a remez to the descendant of David HaMelech, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi, that's what he, an idea. And then he says, even, libi, davar, tov, are sofe tebos, Rebbe. And the word Lashoni is gematria, Yehuda Hanasi. Okay, he goes, keeps on going here. But anyway, that's Omer Ani for Rabbi Shimon. The other main point I wanted to mention here is, regarding the mitzvah of Kavura. Right, we know there are many mitzvahs ben Adam Lachavero, like the Rambam mentions in Hilchos Avel, where the Rambam says there are many mitzvahs derabanan. Like Bikur Cholim and Nichum Avelim and Levayas Hameis and Kvuras Hameis and they're all under the larger rubric of Yehav Lorecha Kamocha. All the mitzvahs Spenad Machavero. But there's a separate mitzvah Daraisa, one of them, that's Kvura. Mitzvah Daraisa to bury someone. And that's the Pasuk in Kiseitse. Pasuk Kiseitse, which discusses the mitzvah of Kvura by Chayave Mises Bezdin. Losalin nivlaso. There's an isser of delaying the burial. Ki kavar tikberenu bayomahu, ki kilalas elokim talui. Right? That's the mitzvah of burial at the beginning of Parshas Kiseitse. That's mitzvah tuf kuf. Did I write it down? It's the beginning here. I'm not going to read it, so I want to read from the Rambam. And the Rambam also quotes this in Mitzvah Reish Lamed Aleph, and the root of Kvura is not just the Mitzvah of Ben Adam Chavero, because it's the only, much of Ben Adam Chavero is kind of like societal responsibilities between one and the other. I'll scratch your back, you'll scratch my back. Bikur Cholim, I'll visit you when you're sick, you'll visit me when I'm sick. Back and forth. But as we know, Kvura is a chesed shel emes. It'll never be given back, unless you say it's more of a larger societal view. But there is another idea in the mitzvah of kvura. This is developed by the mitzvah samelach in his sefer on the Rambam, where he discusses, based on a number of sources, but he quotes from the Psikta Zudrasa. Ukfura denog alma vade daraisei. The kfura that we do is daraisa. Avagav das mechinu rabbanim yikavar tikvarenu. Midechziv ki offer ata the offer tashuv. You came from dirt and you go back to dirt. Yisod din kfura hanilva mehaikra lo havi din chesed lahaniftar ukeshar mitzvos benod lachavero. It's not just chesed like all the other mitzvos benod lachavero. Ela hu din bahachefza dahameis detan kfura. Kivan to offer ata dino sheyashiv laofar. It's completing. It's bringing back the person to where they started. Ki offer ata. We started where we're all Adam Arishon. We all came from dirt, and that's what we go back to. So when we fulfill the mitzvah of kfura, we are not just gemilas chesed, as he writes here. It's that the mace is screaming out, so to speak, to be buried. The chefs of the mace, the tan kfura, and that's why we bury in the ground. Not in a box, right? The above ground. This kfura bakarka, kfura in the dirt. Valzebo chazal vosifu. Chazal say there's another mitzvah the rabbanon added on gemilas chesed. Besides the first din of the ki offer ata bel offer tasha, and that's where there's some sources that talk about there's a special din for family to bury. Besides everyone else, it's like a secondary din. So it could be everybody has a secondary din of Gemilas Chesed. But the family has the ki offer ata, they'll offer tashuv. Dofia Ramba, Mitzvah Kvura, Shumin HaTorah, Mitzvah ala krovim lachud, v'lo al kol b'nei Adam. Why? Because be'emes mutelas chiyiv ze al ameis atzmo. Really, a person himself has to fulfill that he goes back to the ground, but a person can't if they're dead. So therefore, their family is an extension of them. Moshe Rabbeinu, right, the Lash Asotu Yudalid, Moshe Kavaras Atzmo. Dorai Midbar, remember that Chazal? They dug their own graves the night of Tisha B'Av every year, and they went in, so like, they were covered themselves. Yitachin Lomar, the Kivan to be sowed, mitzvah delay, so it goes on to the Krovim. But the Chesed Shel Kfura, that obviously is on everyone. And that's why he calls out the Nafkaminas, the din of Kfar, Karka, and other related issues. The issue also, I mean, this is a huge topic, but just to mention maybe one or two shilohs related to it, and that is pinui hameis. What we're talking about here by shkunas kfaris is, are you allowed to move the atzamos, likar atzamos? Are you allowed to do that? There are many, many shilohs, and just in Rav Moshe, in the Gris Moshe, there are tens of shilohs relating to various questions that came up. They're saying, look at this, you look in your day, like Beis, like Gimel, they're all sections. What about going to Eretz Yisrael? He was asked in Tammuz 1965. They wanted to move somebody from Montreal to Eretz Yisrael after a year. So not to be buried in the first place. Somebody dies and they want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But somebody was buried. Can you exhume? So Ramosha says there's two things to think about. Number one, Pinoy Hameis. Are you allowed to touch a body once it's in? And number two, Bizayon for everyone else left there. Well, we're not good enough neighbors. What about us? You know, we're not good enough for you anymore. You know, it's been a year, right? So, Avonir Pashut. So he says, the reason, he says, it's mutter. Why? Shekivan, the reason, Shemashar wrote to Lalicha Eretz Yisrael, Lumitam Kapara, the Kfur of Eretz Yisrael brings Kapara, Lekashu Bizoyin La Mesem Shenisharu Misham. He's not leaving because he doesn't like the neighborhood, right? He's not leaving. He just wants Eretz Yisrael. And he wants the Kapara of Eretz Yisrael. Right, v'gam neir l'neis daiti shabizayim shar mason udafki k'shemolichon oso mitchila l'kavru b'makam acher shehu. Avo k'shekavru kfar hera. You already see after a year that he liked you as neighbors. You're already there for a while, so he doesn't think it's a problem. One shaila. The next shaila. V'hine, also 1964. He quotes the following story. A woman comes to Rav Moshe after a year. Her husband died a year ago or 4 years ago. They lived in Toronto. And the husband told the wife that if he dies, bring me to Montreal. I want to be right in Montreal. Basher Shadaru Sham Erech Arboim Shana. I lived there for 40 years. The Yeshlem Sham Ben Vishne Banos Nesuos. I have three married children there, and that's where I want to be buried. Ube Toronto Yeshlem Rak Ben Echad. He has three children, he has one child. I lived in Montreal all my life. I want to be buried in Montreal. Avil Hilo Chasha Azlud Varav Vinikva Toronto. They had moved to Toronto, and she just buried him in Toronto. Viata Achrei Shekvar Avru Erech Arbashanim. It's been 4 years. Ritzon Lefanoso. She wants to move him. She's having terrible dreams. Her husband comes to her in dreams and says, "You promised you wouldn't move me." And the questioner, the rabbi, I guess, from Toronto, asks her, Moshe, she says the husband said, wanted this. Says her, Moshe, the rabbi's right. Meaning you move him. You move him. And even if you buried him already, you could still take him. Why? You only know this from the woman? But why would she be saying this? Why would she be spending all that money to move her husband? It must be she's telling the truth. Even though she's ain't other mason masma rasha, she's saying that she lied. She's saying she did the wrong thing, right? It's not a reisa. Adarabah, hutam gadol aminas, rachmas charatasa. Now she's doing tshuva. V'afshe mitzad achalomos. And even if just the dreams won't convince me, says her Moshe. Ein lo nolomar shehemes shabal ba'ila b'chalom. Vaday einem uchzekas b'tzidkus kol kach. Right, we don't think she gets messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Ramosha says that I think that would be okay. And there's so many here that we could spend more time on. Maybe just mention one more, just the top. Kuf Samach Beis. Right? Is there, somebody died in a certain city. Oh, in Akron, Ohio, 1963. Lefanos Arono Shel Aviv, Alav Shalom, May Akron, Le New York. Because all the children live in New York, and nobody goes to visit our dad. Because he's in Akron, and nobody lives in Akron. So says Reb Moshe, I don't remember seeing in Shulchan Aruch that there's a chiyuv to go visit your parents in the cemetery. I don't remember that being a mitzvah. Says Reb Moshe, Pashut Sha'asur. What? It's for your own convenience? So go to Akron. You love your father so much. It's more convenient for you. What's the chiyuv? So daven at home with your father in mind. Says Reb Moshe, Aval Afsha Olam Noagin Leilich Al Kibrei Avos, the Choshrin Shizel Kavod Av, even though the minag is to go there, Kibrei Av, Ein Zeh Kavod Amesha Shayach Lahatir Hapinui Bishvil Zeh. Avim Lo Yichul Klal Leilich Al Kibrei Avos Laolam. Even if you'll never get there, that's not enough of a reason to exhume your father. Shalo Bishvil Kol Kavod HaNidme LaAdam Matirim Lefanos. Not because of any imaginary kavod that we think is, my father would love it. Says Reb Moshe, I don't buy that. Pashut, Mishach, Mishim, Kavod, Lekavod, Yitzlavosav. If it's a family plot that he's not in, to move to a family plot, that's, but this is not. So there's many, many more, but let's get back to our daf. Says the, so that's in terms of some kfur issues. Okay. Here we go. Says the Mishnah. Halacha Gimel. Mem Chesem Abes. Charitshu Ober Behem Bekerem. What if somebody has a ditch that goes, that's in the Kerem, a big, deep ditch. Omak Asar V'racham Rabah. 10 deep and 4 wide, which is important for Hilchas Shabbos, right? It's a Rishus Bifnei Atzma. So is that good enough to what? What is the Mishnah talking about? Could you plant inside that ditch and it won't be a problem with... It's in the Kerem. You have this big ditch in the middle of a vineyard. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Imayim Afulash Mirosh HaKerem Batzofa Harei Zenira Kibein Shnei Kramim. If the ditch goes all the way through from one side to the other side, then fine. That's big enough, it's significant, and you could plant in it. Then zarim besocha. Then you could plant vizarim besocha. V'im lav. But if not, mida oraisa, it's good. Because as we just said, mida oraisa, that's a rishus b'fnei atzma. But mida rabbanan, the rabbanan said, no, it looks like it's inside the kerem. And therefore, if not, how are you kagat? And it's viewed as just like a wine press hole in the middle of your vineyard, and it's not its own rishus. Right? And therefore, you wouldn't be able to plant in there. Once we're talking about God, says the Mishnah, Hagatsha b'kerem, if you have a God in the kerem, Mukasar v'rachav arba, if you have a God in the kerem, which is not, doesn't go all the way through. It's just like a big ditch. Zoran b'socha divrei Rebbe Elazar says there, you could plant in it. You could plant in it in the gat. The chachamim osrim, the chachamim say, you can't. Why? Doesn't go all the way through. Like we said, like in the first case. Like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov said, it has to be mefulish. Right? It's like a gat. A gat that's not mefulish is, you're not allowed to plant it. Shomei Rosh HaBekerem. What if you have a tall mound? A tall mound in the kerem that a shomer stands on, excuse me, as a lookout and guarding the kerem. He stands on it. Could you plant on top of that mound in the kerem? Also, it's 10 high and 4 wide. Zoram b'socha, yeah, you can. Rafla says, even according to the earlier sheet in the Mishnah that says, you can't in a ditch, but a mound on top, that's not in the airspace of the vines, so that's better. It's better to be up top than to be down low. But if there are vines on both sides, and the vines go over the mound and intertwine, then it's usr. Then it's not allowed. Period. Next. Geffen shinatua begat o beneka. What if you have a vine that's planted in a gat? Or in a neka. You have a ditch and there's a vine planted in there. No stin lo avodasav azaresa moser. You're allowed to count 6 tfachim away, like a regular case. You have one vine there, and you can plant outside the 6 tfachim. But what's the havamina otherwise? I might have thought that this is, that we've had in the past, like sometimes if it's in a small area, then the vine, this is called the whole area, this whole neka, this whole ditch is called the vines. Even if it's only one vine. Mishnah says, no, it's a vine, so count 6 tfachim, like we always do, and then plant outside of it. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi argues, he says, Im'ein sham arba amos, lo yavi zer l'sham. Even though it's one vine, if you don't have 4 amos wide, you cannot plant there, because the whole thing is butel to the geffen. It's considered part of the geffen. Vahabayish of a kerem zaronosa. Last line, if you have a house inside a kerem, you can plant in it. Pashas with a roof, right? If you had a dirt floor in the house, you could plant inside the kerem, because it has 4 walls. We said before, even in Suras HaPesach, right? This is 4 walls. This is a big discussion. Not for now, but Beshem, on the horizon. Rabbi will say, not too far away, a couple weeks. Shvius. Shvius. So the Yerushalmi has a suffix. A house for Hilchas Arla, it is Arla. But a house for Shvius, that's a suffix. Right? That has to do with all of the hothouses and the Chamamot and for Shemitah, whether it's Kedusha. There's a suffix in the Yerushalmi about that. We'll have to get there. Okay, we'll stop here. The Gemara and B'Hashem will continue next time with Daf Memtes.